Hey guys,
welcome back. Yes, to season two, episode two
of Called by Name. I'm Ava.
I'm Paisley,
and you're listening to Called by Name. Like we said. Guys, we're in a funky kind of mood today.
I don't know what happened.
We're in a silly, goofy mood. I don't know. I don't know. I think it's literally just like the joy of the Holy Spirit. Because we have been laughing and cracking up for, I'm not even kidding, like 40 minutes now. We were literally trying to record something to post on the Instagram, and we just kept laughing and just like...
we both have this like same energy that's like so joyful and like radiant, and it's like I love it, but it's just kind of like, where did this come from? Like, we're in the
any outside view, you'd be like, what is happening?
What's going on with them? Are they okay?
Sometimes, but it's really fun because sometimes like I'll be crazy and I'm like in a mood, and Paisley's and like, what like, are you doing? And then sometimes it's the other way around. But when we're on like the same wavelength, it's just so hectic and chaos. So buckle up, we don't really know how this episode
it's
is gonna
be
go.
A wild ride. Okay, first of all, there's two things we need to address. One, we're back into the office.
Yes,
we're back into our regular recording area.
I don't know how I feel about it.
It just feels like nostalgic, you know. Because we're back. And then the second thing we need to address is your beautiful teeth. Guys, she got her braces off.
I did.
So.
Yeah, look at my teeth. If you're not watching the YouTube video.
I did. Yeah, look at my teeth. She looks like here. She's like, you know, has teeth now.
It's really weird. It's like so strange.
I'm trying to get used to it.
I know. It's really weird. The first time... when they like first took them off, they were like, okay, like you can go like rinse your mouth out or whatever. So I went and I saw my teeth and I was like, put them back on. I was like, I don't know who that is. Like, what, what is that?
I know. I was like, so, Okay. So those were the two things I had to say and address. So
thanks.
I like anything attention. You have to address. Did you just say I like attention? I like attention.
I had a job interview yesterday.
Oh, yes. I
don't know if I should say where it was. I won't just until I don't know, but basically it's really exciting and I have a really good feeling about it. The interview is yesterday from the time that we're recording this. And yeah, it's really cool because over COVID my parents became regulars at this place and they got to know the manager, and so, and then I kind of got to know the manager a little bit recently, and she's like, yeah, like we're hiring in June, and that's when we're recording this. And she was like the other day, she's like, not the other day, what am I saying, like a month ago, she was like, yeah, like put your application in, like, you know, whatever. So and now it's like all happening, and so exciting things are taking place.
She's I'm growing up.
I know.
Our little girl.
It's so crazy. I feel like so old. But anyway, that's my little life update. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
That's good.
Yeah. I have kind of a COVID brain. Still, I'm not sick anymore. Yeah. Or else we wouldn't be doing this.
Well, remember that one time?
Okay, but that wasn't COVID.
Well, actually, yeah, but we were like, oh my gosh, what episode? I think it was the identity episode. We were both hacking our lungs
so
out.
So sick and tired and exhausted.
It was
and
so bad.
But yeah.
Yeah.
But it's what's cool about that episode, though, is that after all of the like mishaps that we had, all of the like technical difficulties, we just felt like we were so strongly getting attacked from the enemy of like specifically on this topic of identity. And even though it wasn't our strongest episode, like we weren't even gonna post it. But I was like, are we really gonna let the enemy have another attack of like not posting this at all? That's kind of, you know. And so then we eventually did post it, and even though it wasn't the best, it was still
I think we were talking about like a few minutes ago, we were like, season one was a little rough, but
we apologize for all the YouTube stuff.
Oh my gosh, that has been so frustrating. Yeah, for the people who like to watch their podcasts on YouTube, I would just like to apologize to that community because I have failed you all. I had so many technical difficulties with that along the way, but I finally figured it out. So hopefully season two should be a lot smoother with that, and it should, it should be fine. So you can actually go see my teeth if you want to.
there were so many times when we'd be like,
go watch the YouTube video.
If you're not watching, then what are you doing? And then the YouTube video was like,
you can't.
The YouTube video is like not up at all.
Non-existent.
And so we apologize for that.
Yeah. I'm sorry, guys. That was deceitful.
Yeah. There were so many times where we were like, we would like show you guys something and then,
and then
you guys couldn't see it. Yeah. So.
So sad.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But now hopefully you can.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah.
All right.
I don't even know what I was talking about. I'm doing good.
The COVID brain.
I'm doing good. We were, my family was sick.
Yeah.
Last week, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really get sick. I just got the COVID brain. And so my brain's very out of it.
Yeah.
And.
You guys, she would be texting me like the most random things. She texted me the
other
day.
But in my mind, it made sense.
No. No, it didn't.
Like, to me, it did.
She texted me the other day and she goes, you know what's healing to babies? And I said, what? And she said, diapers. And I was like, okay, it's your bedtime. Like, what does that mean?
Because I was watching a commercial and I was asleep, and then I woke up and that was what was playing on the TV. It was like, they literally asked, what is healing to babies? And then they were like, diapers. And I was like, yeah.
So yeah, I'm gonna text it to Ava.
I just texted it to Ava.
Gosh. So that's so funny.
That's what that was about. So anyways, if I'm a little like cray cray today, it's because I have a little bit of a COVID brain. And
oh my gosh.
Yeah. We're very vulnerable here, guys.
Yeah.
And
yes.
This is me. So okay.
About to do that. That would have been so funny.
This is me. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, do we want to just get into what we're talking about today?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Basically.
Hang on. Before you start, there's a piece of fuzz in here on your microphone, and I had to, because it was bugging me.
Thank you for that. I really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Today we are going to be talking about how to be on fire for the Lord, because that is so important. Obviously it's important to acknowledge before we get into this that the way that you feel and your emotions are not what should be driving your relationship with the Lord, because a lot of times it is a matter of dying to our flesh and choosing to pursue a relationship with the Lord even when it's hard.
Yeah.
But there are seasons where you just don't feel on fire, or maybe you're new to your faith and you're seeing all these other people who are super on fire and you're like, why don't I have that?
Yeah.
Maybe you're watching this podcast and you're like, how come I'm not as on fire as Paisley? Or how come I'm not as on fire as Ava? And we just want to let you know, like, you can have that. You can be on fire, and we want to oh my gosh,
we have special guests.
Hey guys.
Hi.
Momentary special. What's up?
Hello.
They just wanted to come on and say hi.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything advice you would have to give to the people?
What are we talking about? What is this episode?
How to be on fire for the Lord.
Okay. In this case, to get hungry, you have to eat more.
So. Well, that was one of my points.
I was going to say.
Yes.
Yeah, I have to. I can't really add to that.
You got
to
read your Bible. Got to read your Bible in order to get on fire for God. Because
wait, they don't even know who you are. Who are you?
No, we didn't even introduce them.
I'm Lulu. I'm Paisley's sister.
Yeah, she's my sister. And this is...
I'm Acacia, and
she's
just here.
Yeah, she's our, like, beloved friend, and we love her so much.
We love you.
How long have we known each other? Since, like, fourth? No, yeah. Like, younger second than grade. That. Like, second grade.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Wow. Yeah. What is your guys' favorite Bible verse at the moment?
Mm. You guys both give it to us at the same time. Oh, and we're like...
I don't know.
I don't know. There's one. I don't know what chapter it's from, but it says like, and it was like right before God was going into, or Jesus was going into heaven. Mm-hmm. And it was one of his last words to his disciples. And it says that he like breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And then he was commissioning them and saying, go, I'm sending you.
Yeah.
Wow. That's powerful.
I really love that verse because it's like, I feel God like, saying that to me, like, yeah. I'm sending you, you know.
That's good. Yeah. That's so that. Good. What about you?
Mine is probably like the one in Matthew where it's like, you're the salt of the earth, and like, if the salt loses its flavor, like, how can you still be? I feel like that's so relevant, especially like in school and stuff. I feel like during the summer I like reflect a lot on like the school year, and I'm like, I can't lose my saltiness, like, you know, and I feel like a lot of times
I said don't lose the saltiness. Yeah, I have that written.
Yeah, no, it's like, and I feel like especially in summer you're like reflecting, you're like, I kind of lost my salt. So yeah. I feel like summer's like a time to like redeem that and like be like, okay, next year, like, or like when I go back to school, like, I'm not gonna lose my flavor.
Come on.
That's so good. Girl, we need to have them on the podcast.
Snaps for salt.
Yeah.
Snaps for salt.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for joining us momentarily.
This was fun.
Yes. Thank you for popping on and say hi. We love you guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Farewell. I was saying, like, you can have that fire, and we just want to talk about how to get that, and how to have that relationship with the Lord, and how to get to that place. Mm-hmm. So,
well, first of all, what does it mean? What does it look like? What does that phrase mean, to be on fire for God? Like, first of all, I feel like we should talk about that because I think so many times people just say that and then they're like, wait, but I don't know. Like, they say things, but they're like, I don't know what that means, you know?
Yeah.
To me, the first thing I think of when I hear that phrase is passion. I just hear the word passion. And I think it's to have this, like, passion and this just, like, relentless pursuit after God's own heart. And it's like, I mean, obviously, as Christians, as followers of Christ, we are, that's, you know, that's our goal, that's what we're doing,
right?
But it's kind of just this level of passion, this level of like just hungry for God, hungry and wanting to, just this desire to see him move in your community, in your church, in your generation, in your friends, in your, you know, what, in your school, whatever. And yeah, it's this desire to see more of God and believing for these things that he's putting on your heart. And I just think of passion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same. I mean, I feel like that's such a buzzword, like, in the Christian community, is like, oh, fire. Like, I want to be ignited. I want to be on fire for God. But a lot of people, you know, there's different, I don't know what I'm saying. But I think of, like, the same thing. I think of, like, having, like, a passion, like, a burning passion and a burning desire to see the Lord move. And I think that comes from a place of having relationship with God.
Yeah.
Because I think so often it can be so easy to fall to a place of religion where you're just checking a box and you're just getting something done and you're not engaging in relationship with God. So I think having that fire, having that passion, having that intensity comes from, wow, Lord, like, I know you.
Yeah.
I know your character. I know your heart. I know that your desire is to move in my day and in my generation.
Right.
And I'm going to worship you so unashamedly.
Yeah.
Like, because you're living for an audience of one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we just really want to talk about that. How do you get that? How do we get there?
Yeah. And I think a lot of times there are moments where there's those mountaintop moments where we are really on fire for God. It's those moments of we got encountered, or we got this new revelation of just God's heart for what he wants to do in this season. and we get so on top of that mountain. We get so excited about that. And then we just kind of live our lives and don't, like, we don't, what's the word? Sustain or...
You don't maintain it.
Yeah, maintain it. And then we just kind of let ourselves go back down the mountain and chill in the valley for a while until the next mountaintop moment, you know?
Yep.
And so I guess what we're going to talk about is staying on that mountaintop, staying, maintaining that fire for God and...
Right. As opposed to just living on, living for the spiritual highs.
Yeah, right.
Because...
Yeah.
I think it's so easy to get caught up in that and to be like, okay, well, you know, I'll just wait till the next camp. I'll just wait till the next youth conference, because what happens is the Lord does come and he does move in those places and in those environments. But I think we can get so carried away with relying on that and making that our focus and our priority.
Right.
But yeah, I don't think that a fire for the Lord is something that is fleeting or something that just comes and goes. There are seasons where you don't feel it as much, but I don't think that having a fire for the Lord is something that just comes with the next youth conference or the next camp or the next
really whatever. Good church service.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And we do have to make room for seasons, because sometimes God's going to do things in season where you're not going to feel as, you know, on fire for God, or feel as, or just be as consistent in your word, or things like that, because there are going to be seasons that are not as glam, you know? And so many times I think we kind of fall into that of like being on fire for God. Oh, we have to be perfect. We have to be in our word. We have to do all these things consistently so that we maintain it. But we have to make room for what God wants to do. And there are seasons where he wants to kind of take us out of this big picture, I guess, and talk, speak to us more clearly through certain things, and do things in our lives in those different seasons of not feeling so passionate for God, you know?
There those seasons are going to happen, and they will come. There are going to be hard seasons, and we were even talking, like, just prepping for this episode, how we both have felt like we've been in that lately.
Yeah,
and it's kind of crazy how the Lord asked us to do this episode when we've been in that place.
Yeah.
And we just want, I just want to make it so clear and so known to you guys that, like, we are not perfect. Just because we're doing this podcast and we have, you know, all these, we are not perfect. And we have, both of us have been experiencing what it looks like to be in that season of just not feeling the Holy Spirit as much and not feeling his nearness. And that doesn't mean that he isn't near.
Yeah.
It just means that we're not feeling it. And so I just want to make that so clear of, like, everyone goes through seasons. You will not meet a single Christian or a single person of any religion that is going to tell you that it is always amazing and this beautiful, you know, high. There are the refining seasons, and honestly, life on earth is just a continual refining season, because the reality is earth is the only place that we are going to have the choice between worshiping the Lord and not. When we get to heaven, it's just going to be like, that's just what we do. That is just our response. But on earth, we get to choose. This is a hard season, but I'm going to choose to worship you anyways, because you're worth it. I'm going to choose to get in my word because I long for a relationship with you, Lord. And I think that something that oftentimes gets in the way of having a fire for the Lord and having that passion and that relationship is the spirit of religion. And essentially what the spirit of religion does is it tells you that you're not good enough and that you have to work and you have to perform in order for God to love you and in order to be worthy of being a son or daughter of the King. And that is just not true. I actually looked up the definition of religion, and it's a particular system of faith and worship. And I thought it was really interesting that it said system. Because when you're in a relationship with someone, you don't really see, it's not a system.
Right.
My friendship with Paisley is not a system. You know, it is not a, you know, well, in order to, in order for Paisley to accept me, I have to text her 5 times a day and I have to make sure I call her at least once, because otherwise she's going to break up with me and hate me forever and she's going to be mad at me. That's not how that works. No. I call Paisley and I text her and I, you know, we try to hang out because we love each other, yeah, and because, you know, we are in a friendship, and there are things that, you know, both of us do to contribute to that, coming, yeah, from a place of we love each other and we want to pursue each other in, yeah, that way of, right, like, hey, I love you so much that I want to make sure that I'm staying connected.
Right.
Our friendship would be so dry and just so not just disgusting if I was like, well, I have to talk to her today. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, like, that's wrong.
Yeah.
And she's going to
hate
me.
There's no choice. There's no freedom, yeah, there. Like,
right,
I'm not going to be like, like, obviously, I love Ava, so I'm going to give her the choice to hang out. I'm going to give, mm-hmm, her the choice to... I'm not, like, forcing her, like, oh, come, this is the house system. You have to come over today or else I'm going to go crazy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like a... And that's how it is with God. It's, yeah, not... It's not this rule. Oh, you have to follow all these rules in order to be loved by God or to, you know, to have this relationship with him. It's not like... There's so, yeah, much more freedom than I think we realize. Like, I think a lot of times... religion is viewed as something that's this rule book, and there's no, it's kind of like we're in bars, there's no freedom because we have to, yep, follow all these rules.
Yep.
But I think so many don't realize how it's so much more than that. It's actually so much, it's so much freedom. Mm. And there's so much freedom in it because you get the choice to choose God every day. You get to choose, yeah, to bring him glory every day. You get to choose, yeah, to go read your Bible. And once you do, like, once you choose, like, God's not like, oh, you have to read your Bible today. Yeah. Oh, you have to do all these, yeah, things.
Come on.
And once you do those things, you feel so satisfied. You have, yeah, there's this joy that comes after all of it. And I mean, like, just as like a friendship, like, just like us pursuing each other and hanging out with each other and checking in on each other, making sure we're good and hearing what the other person has to say. There's... the reward of that is so beautiful. Yep. And I think that's what a lot of people forget about,
yep,
their relationship with God is that, I, yeah, forgot my whole train of thought.
No, but it's,
yeah,
do you, like, there wouldn't be nearly as much fruit in our friendship,
mm-hmm,
if it was just like, well, we have to,
yeah,
we have to hang out, right, we have to talk to each other, we have to do all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was reading this morning, and it was crazy because when I was praying about what we should do this episode on, the Lord so clearly spoke to me, and he was like, I want you to talk about what happens when there's an absence of my presence, when, mm-hmm, there's lack of, like, relationship, mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm, we're talking about. And it was so crazy because this morning the Lord was totally speaking to me through what I was reading. So I was reading the end of 1 Chronicles. And it's talking about how David is coming to the people of Israel, and he's saying, hey, look, I am, my son is going to succeed the throne. And, you know, he's talking about Solomon, and he's saying Solomon is actually going to build the temple of the Lord for the Ark of the Covenant. Mm. And David comes, and he brings all of his gold, all of his silver, all of his treasures, and he encourages the people of Israel to do the same. So that's the context of what I'm about to read. This is 1 Chronicles 29, verse 17, and it says, I know, my God, that you examine our hearts and rejoice when you find integrity there. You know that I have done this with good motives, and I have watched your people offer their gifts willingly and joyously. Mm. And I wrote next to it, I said, the Lord searches our hearts because he longs to find integrity, that we are doing things for the Lord, not because we feel like we have to, but because we want to, because we long to glorify the Lord because we love him. The people of Israel, when they were bringing their offerings to build the temple, they weren't doing it out of a place of, well, we have to do this. Otherwise, mm-hmm, God is, he's going to strike us with lightning and we're going to all die. Like, it wasn't coming from a place of, of fear or of, oh, we have to do this. But it actually mentions multiple times in this chapter how the people brought their offerings to the Lord willingly and joyously. Mm-hmm. And they did it with joy. Yeah. They did it with gratitude. They did it out of a place of longing to connect with the Lord and longing to glorify his name.
Yeah.
And so I think the Lord will see in your heart if you are doing things out of a place of, I have to.
Yeah. Right.
Or he's mad at me. And I feel the Holy Spirit on that so much.
Yeah.
If you are under the sound of my voice right now and you think that you could never have a relationship with the Lord because he is mad at you, or because you haven't been doing all the right things, or because you know that you've been living in sin, I just want to break that off of you right now in Jesus' name, because that is not my God. That is not who my dad is.
Come on.
He is not angry.
Right.
He is not mad at you.
Yeah.
And I bind that in the name of Jesus. And we just send that lie back to the pit of hell.
Come on.
Because that is not who God is. He is not mad at you.
Yeah.
He's actually so desperate for a relationship with you.
Right.
Because you are so precious to him.
Mm.
And he's just waiting for the moment that you're going to turn around and come back to him.
Yeah.
And come back to his word and come back to his presence, because he longs for that so much. So I just rebuke any lie of the enemy that says you are not good enough, that God is mad at you, that he could never forgive you, because that is all that he longs to do. He is in an endless pursuit of your heart, and he seeks after a relationship with you day after day after day.
Come on. Come on, Holy Spirit. Yeah, God, like, there's so much more than just a rule book.
Mm-hmm.
And God's, like, there's a genuine relationship, a genuine love, you know? And it's not, it isn't, like, this fake title that we put on ourselves.
Yeah.
Like, this right here, that the reason why she's getting emotional about this is because she has a relationship with God, and she genuinely knows.
Mm.
She knows his heart, and she trusts him with her life, and she trusts him with her heart and her and the plans, and she knows that he's not an angry father who's just sitting on a throne up in heaven watching your every move, waiting for you to sin next so that he can punish you. Like, no, he knows your every move, and he knows. This is the best thing. I saw this video or something sometime, and it was saying how the reason why God loves us so much and isn't mad at us when we sin or when we do, you know, maybe the wrong thing, or we stray away a little bit, we turn away, is because he knows the insecurity, he knows the reason behind the sin, the reason behind that, and he understands it. Like, he gets that. He sees that, and so he understands. Therefore, he's so much more loving than we realize. And and he's not a father who's just, you know, ready to punish you. Like, he there are certain I think sometimes we sin or we do these wrong things, and we know it's wrong. He knows it's wrong, and he is a little bit frustrated. That's probably frustrating that we did that, but he still loves us. He's like, he's like, no, come to me, bring it to me, I'll take care of it. Like, you know, there's so much growth and things that he wants to teach you in those things. And
yeah, come on. And I mean, like, we had Katie Torwall on our podcast a few episodes ago, and she was talking about how when her daughter does things for her, or when her daughter tells her, like, I love you, like, and she knows that she's not being, you know, told to do that, it melts her heart, and it actually breaks her heart. And it's the same thing with your father. When you are doing things out of a place of, Lord, I want to read my Bible, I want to get in your presence, I want to give money to this homeless person because I love you, and because I seek to do your will, he loves that so much. And just like that passage that I was just reading, like, he actually looks for that in our hearts. He looks for that integrity. And just like what you were saying of how, like, he understands the reasoning behind every sin. Like, I was reading this, I was trying to find it, but I can't find it. This verse in Psalms, you can find it in there, I promise you. It's in there. But it's David is talking about God, and he says he understands the human heart, and so he understands everything that they do.
Yeah.
Like, he knows why you're doing the things right. that you're doing. And, you know, I just, you know, the whole reason that Jesus came and he died on the cross was so that you can live in that relationship with him, and that you can have that eternal life, and that, you know, that is the reason that we don't have to like sacrifice goats right. and bulls anymore, is because Jesus came and yeah. he was the lamb, and mm-hmm. he was the ultimate sacrifice right. because God knew that, you know, the blood of goats and lambs, or the blood of goats and bulls, wouldn't be able to sustain human sin forever. He had to yeah. send the ultimate sacrifice
right.
and Jesus, he came to kill that spirit of religion mm-hmm. that says you're not good enough. Because, and I wrote this down, but I said, if we could find salvation through our works and our performance, Jesus wouldn't have needed to come. Mm-hmm. Because if it was up to us whether or not we were in right standing with God, Jesus wouldn't have had to come. Mm-hmm. That was the whole point of right. Jesus dying on the cross, was so that the barrier of sin and transgression would be removed.
Yeah.
So there is nothing that you could have done mm-hmm. that Jesus hasn't removed.
Yeah.
Or washed white as snow. Like, you are clean right. in the Lord's sight, and you now have that ability to come yeah. to the Lord. Like, a spirit of religion and a spirit that says I have to
yeah.
is from the demonic. It is from the enemy, and it is not what God says. Because God, he longs for a relationship.
Yeah.
And he understands. Mm. He understands the sin. And he understands why you do the things that you do.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it's important that we do repent after sinning. And I think that within the church, within the Christian community, sin and repentance and words like that have such a negative connotation mm. to it. Yeah. But in reality, repentance is freedom.
Yeah.
Repentance is saying, Lord, I am so sorry
right.
that I was sinning, that I was living outside of your design for mm. me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that. Yeah. Because the reality is, a sin was created to put distance between you and your Father.
Mm-hmm.
So by repenting, you are saying, Lord, I'm turning away from that sin, and I'm turning towards you and recognizing that this is the only thing that is going to bring me joy and bring right. me happiness. So yeah. when you're repenting, it's looking at your mistakes, looking at your sin, and saying, actually, no, I'm not going to let this affect
yeah.
my relationship with the Father. And I don't think that, you know, repentance doesn't have to be just, you know, confessing to someone about all the, it's not always about all the big, huge, dirty things that yeah. you think about. Like, sometimes, like, I literally have had to sit with the Lord and go, wow, I didn't realize I was actually becoming numb. I didn't mm-hmm. realize that I was mm-hmm. growing apathetic to your spirit. I didn't mm-hmm. realize that I was actually growing so familiar with your spirit that I actually haven't even been able to recognize yeah. it anymore.
Right.
And just being like, oh, I'm so sorry. I like lashed out at this person while yeah. I was driving. Like, I am so sorry, Lord. Like, right. it's not this whole emotional big thing. Sometimes mm-hmm. it is,
yeah.
but a lot of times it's just going, Lord, I'm so sorry for allowing this to get in between you and me.
Yeah. Right. Right. And the best part about that is that on the other side of it, God, we serve a God who is so willing. Like, I feel like that's just sums up everything. He's willing to do, willing to heal, willing to forgive you, willing to love you. But he's willing to take the weight and the heaviness of that sin that you're kind of holding. This is what I picture when of repentance. I yeah. picture you holding your sin or whatever you did wrong and recognizing that.
She was gargling. Okay, sorry.
Recognizing that, admitting to it, and being like, hey, God, I see that I did this, and I don't want this to come between me and you. And so I'm giving it to you. And then you put it in God's hands. And yeah. His hands are always ready. They're always willing.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you have a genuine heart of admitting it and being like, God, I'm sorry. Giving that to him. And he's like, I got it. And he takes care of it. And then you don't have to feel that weight and that guilt any longer. Come because on. He's so willing to take that off your shoulders. And I think sometimes we don't realize that. Mm-hmm. We don't realize that the power that repentance has.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the things that you struggle with and the sins that you've committed, like, nothing is too heavy for God. Nothing is too big. Yeah. And nothing is too small.
Right.
But it's definitely too big for you, though. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely too heavy for you to carry.
Mm-hmm.
And repentance actually takes a weight off of our shoulders that says, man, like, let's say, you know, you're struggling with lust, okay? And every time that you are thinking in a way that is lustful, it is oppressing your spirit. And that's what happens when you sin, is something actually happens inside you where it's actually oppressing you. That's what sin is meant to do. It's meant to create barriers between you and the Father, and it's meant to oppress your soul and ultimately destroy you, because that is what the devil seeks to do. You know, he seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. You can find that in John somewhere. And so the next time that you catch yourself, you know, in that same sin, whatever it may be, turning and going, man, Lord, I am so sorry. There is such freedom in that, because you cannot turn away from these things on your own. Like, you can't even, you know. And so I just really feel the Lord's heart with that. Is just like, it's definitely too heavy for you to carry, but nothing is too heavy for him. And there is so much freedom that comes with repentance and saying, I didn't mean to, or maybe you did mean to. There's room for that too,
right?
Because the Lord, he, you know, like we were just reading, like he knows the motivations and the intentions of your heart. So when you come to God and you say, Lord, Dad, like, I'm so sorry. And there's a genuineness in your heart.
Yeah.
He is so willing to help you turn away from that sin. He is so willing to forgive you.
Yeah.
And to say, like, come here. It's okay. If, like, I did this with you the other day where I texted Paisley and I said, hey, I'm believing this lie right now. Like, I'm struggling with, like, can you help? And Paisley just affirmed me. And the Lord is that same way, where it's like, if you come to him and you're like, I am struggling.
Yeah.
He's not going to be like, well, probably should have thought that through. No, he's going to be like, let me help you with this, you know, and he's going to encourage you, and he's going to strengthen you and give you the ability
to move on from that.
Yeah. He's so willing to help you, and he's so willing to help you push through your struggles and, you know, sins, even if they are repetitive, because I think, you know, a lot of times repentance isn't just a one and done thing. Yeah. I have had to repent for, like, bitterness, for example. I have had to repent for that so many times. Like, Lord, I am so sorry for just allowing myself to grow bitter. You know, something happened and it hurt my heart, and as a result, like, resentment started to grow and I started to become bitter. And now I'm starting to get to a point where I can recognize that. And I can go, Lord, would you help me to forgive that person? Would you help me to not hold a grudge anymore?
I love that we went on this whole path of repentance and sin. I love it. Yeah. I agree with what you're saying. And I think another key part is, you know, after you say, I'm sorry, after he forgives you, then not going back into mm-hmm. those old ways and not going back to that sin. And that's another thing that God wants to help you with. He genuinely wants to help you stay out of that and give you the strength to not turn back to those old ways.
And honestly, the whole reason why I wanted to talk about repentance was because, like, a lot of times what I recognize is when my fire for the Lord starts to, I've noticed a decrease in my passion and in my intensity for the Lord. A lot of times it's because there's something in my heart that I haven't repented for or that I haven't addressed with the Lord.
Wow.
And so a lot of times when I feel like there's something off between me and my dad, I have to sit with myself and I have to go, okay, Lord, what am I not? Yeah. What am I missing?
Wow.
And it's not a spirit of religion. It's not a religious thing of, oh my gosh, what am I doing wrong? Like, what am I doing wrong? It's Lord, something's off between us.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I'll sit and I'll repent for the things that I'm not aware of just like,
right.
Wow, I don't know what's going on. I don't know why something feels off between us, Lord, but I am so sorry if I said something that hurt someone, if something is happening in my heart that I don't see, Lord, I just pray that you uproot that in Jesus' name. I pray that you would take away any barrier between you and me, because I long to be with you. I long to be in relationship with you, and I'm not willing to let anything come between you and me. So I'm so sorry for the things that are unseen and unrevealed to me, Lord, but would you just like cleanse me of the things unseen, of the things where I've allowed myself to grow bitter, things that I don't see, areas that I'm sinning and I don't even know. Would you convict me, Lord? Would you actually reveal that to me? And he will, if you're coming to him with a genuine heart saying, what am I doing wrong? Like, what can I do better? Mm-hmm. What is that thing that, you know, something feels off between us, Lord? Like, what can I, what can I do? What can I do better? Like, would you show me?
Yeah.
And just like, sorry, I'm kind of all over the place, but just, I loved what you were talking about of like, when you repent, you have to actually make the effort to turn away from that.
Right.
I'm having a hard time finding it. I like have all of these verses that are just like in my brain, but then when I go to find them, I'm like, I don't know where that is.
Yeah.
But basically in Matthew, there's this story of Jesus and he casts this demon out of someone, and he basically is, I believe he's talking to his disciples and he's saying, when you are removing evil, when you are removing sin from your heart, but then you're not going and filling it with things of the spirit and things of the kingdom, that in this story specifically, it's talking about a demon, that demon will come back.
Yeah.
And it talks about, I forget exactly what it says, but it's something along the lines of like, I will return to the house from which I came. Yeah. So like, if you are repenting, but you're not making the effort to change anything, that thing that you are repenting for and trying to turn away from isn't going to go away if there's no
action.
There's no action. There's no effort on your behalf. And a lot of it, we do have to rely on the Lord to give us the strength.
Yeah.
But we also can't be sitting on our hands and just expecting it to just go away.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, I remember seeing this video of someone being like, oh, well, if God just forgives you every single time and when you repent and he just keeps forgiving you, why don't you just keep going back to your sin? You know what I mean? Like, why don't you just keep sinning and then keep repenting? And it's like, no, that's not what it's about. It's it's not about, you know, oh, well, I'm doing this thing because it felt good. And then, oh, now I'm going to go repent. Oh, Jesus forgives me. Okay, now I'm going to go back to it and see you next time, Lord, when you forgive me again. Like, that's not what it's about at all. It's so much more than that. There's so much more than just words of repenting. It is the effort of self-improvement, of improving yourself.
Yeah.
And God wants to partner with you on that and help you improve, help you grow and move on to the next season of your life. And instead of just lingering in this one thing and keep just this cycle of repenting, sinning, forgiveness, you know?
Come on.
And, yeah, I think there's, he wants to help you improve and grow to the next thing that he's doing.
Right. And that's scary, though. I mean, like, just saying, all right, Lord, yep, sorry about this thing. Mm-hmm. And then just going and doing it again. Like, that is not... He has so much more for you than that. That is so mediocre, and that is so low level. And honestly, like, the Lord just has better things for you than that. I think, like, if you are going into a situation with the mindset of, I'll just repent for it in the morning, that's scary, though. Yeah. That's... and, you know, like we were just talking about, the Lord's not going to be mad at you. Yeah. And he will forgive you, though. Yeah. That's the thing, is he will forgive you.
Right. But you're setting yourself up for more guilt.
Yeah.
For more heaviness.
Right. Exactly. Know? And it's, what are you benefiting from
right.
that?
Right.
What are you actually gaining? Because it's not a fire for the Lord.
Yeah.
It's just a, what's the word?
It's a just, system.
Yeah, it's just a, it's just a tolerance for sin. Mm. It's just, you know, Paul says that all things are permissible, but not things are all beneficial. You can do something and repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry, and go right back and do it again, and that's, and God will forgive you, because he's God, and he's our Father, and he loves us. But what is that doing for you?
Right.
Nothing. It's not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
So... make sure your heart is in the right place, because he sees all of it. He really does. Yeah. Okay, so we've talked about the spirit of religion.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about repentance and how important that is. So
yes.
And I even maybe want to just... Maybe we even, like, at the end, we could have a moment of just, like, repentance and just showing...
Yeah.
Like, kind of... because I know some of y'all are listening to this and you're like, I need to take care of that. I need to repent of that. So I think at the end we'll have some time of allowing the Holy Spirit to come and clean out some gunk in our hearts.
That's crazy. I literally was like, we need to show them what repenting looks like.
Come on. All right. So we've talked about how to get rid of the yucky stuff, but how do we actually, like we were just talking about, how do we actually replace it with things of the Spirit so that those... sins have less of an impact, and they have less of a effect when they do try to come back.
Yeah.
And they do try to attack it. Because the enemy will do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'll repent of something, you'll give it to the Lord, and he will come at you with the same sword and the same sin and be like, oh, you want to do this, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
You want to. You know you want to. So how do we actually live in for the Spirit so that we know what to do when we are in those situations and when we are being tempted?
Temptation is when you're being tempted by
the enemy
to fall back into your sinful ways or to do things that you know is not what God has for you. And to do things that you... yeah, that God's not asking you to do, kind of thing.
Yep.
And you're very tempted, and you're kind of on the fence of like, I know this isn't right, but like, it's really tempting, and like,
yeah.
And I think that's, a lot of times we do that after we repent. We're like, we're on the fence still. We gave it to God. We said the words. We accepted his forgiveness. But then we're like, oh, but it's so tempting to go back to that sin. So, you know, but that is... literally the plan and the attack of the enemy. So how do we not listen to the temptation? How do we also give that to God and not live on the fence, you know? So
we say no.
We say no to temptation.
I mean, the enemy knows that sin is fun, because if it wasn't fun, we wouldn't be tempted to sin. But even though sin might be fun, the result of that is actually
temporarily.
It's temporal satisfaction, and it's actually, you're gonna leave feeling worse than you did when you came in. That's what sin does, is it says, you know, the enemy always has this double standard of, oh, you want to do this though, it's fun, you know you want to go out and get hammered, you know you want to go do all these things, and then you're like, yeah, I kind of do. And then you go and you do it, and he's like, look what you did.
Yeah.
Look what you did. Shame on you.
Literally. Guys, why do we do this? Yes, why do we do this? Yes, we're humans. Yes, we are going to make mistakes, and that's going to happen, and that's okay. There's room for growth.
Right.
But that's, like...
Yeah. Well, I think, a lot of times what's helped me is I dealt with anxiety for, 4 years. Mm-hmm. So, crazy time. But what I learned to do is... In moments where I wasn't having a panic attack, moments where I wasn't freaking out, and, you know, moments where I was, sane and, okay, I would sit with myself, and I would be like, okay, how can I go into this next situation better prepared? So if you know that there's a certain situation that is going to be tempting for you, then you need to sit with yourself and decide what your response to that situation is going to be. Because if you don't go in there, if you don't go into the situation with a plan, you're going to end up sinning again, because you're not going to have anything to fall back on. So I think, one, it's really important that you predetermine what you're going to do when temptation presents itself.
Yeah.
And then also just praying and being like, Lord, I pray that you give me the strength.
Yeah.
To deal with this and to handle this in a way that is holy and godly and what you are asking of me. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I just think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just immediately thought of putting on the armor of God. Mm. And in the Bible, it talks about this. I just looked it up real quick. Ephesians 6:14 says, stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body of armor of God's righteousness. Ephesians 6:11 says, put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil.
Come on.
And what are the armor of God? Wait, what? I'm mixing it
what
up.
What are the armor of God?
I'm mixing it up with the fruit of the spirit. because I was like,
what are the fruits of the armor?
The armor of God. Ephesians 6:13 says, therefore put on every piece of God's armor so that you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth, which is your word, reading your word, getting into your word, the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. That's really good. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. I think of that. I think of having faith in the Lord and trusting. I just think of trusting him. Mm-hmm. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God.
Yeah. So the belt of truth isn't the word of God.
Oh, yeah.
But it's the sword of the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Which... It's interesting because you look at that and the sword of the spirit is the only offensive piece of the armor of God. It is the only weapon, the only part of the armor that is given to you to actually attack.
Yeah.
And so when you go into situations of temptation, you can attack it with the word.
Right.
You can
speak the truth.
You can, thank you.
You're welcome.
You can go into those situations with verses in your head. I know that when I was dealing with anxiety, a lot of things that would come up for me is, I don't know what the future holds. I don't because I would get really anxious about my health. Anytime anything was wrong, I was just like, oh my, I would jump to the worst possible thing. And I would be like, I am literally dying right now. Mm. And it's like, no. But so my verse during that time was Jeremiah 29:11, which is, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And so I think going into situations with specific verses that deal with the temptations that you're facing is going to be so helpful.
Yeah.
So that's another very important thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think especially, yeah, having those Bible verses, having those, I think sometimes, even for myself, I don't realize the power that the word has of when you actually speak those mm-hmm. words, the Bible, the truth of what God says over yourself and over your situation, there are chains that will fall when right. you speak those words. There's right. so much power there. And the enemy trembles. Like, let right. me tell you, when you speak the name of Jesus and when you pull out all of these, like, you literally, this is your weapon right here.
Yeah.
You literally have, like, so much truth in here. And when you, like, read those, when you, even, like, I even do this sometimes when I'm feeling overwhelmed or when I'm feeling stressed out, I come to my word and I read what God has to say. I read the truth and I instantly feel peace. Mm-hmm. I instantly feel like that feeling of feeling overwhelmed and anxious or stressed out. Mm-hmm. You know, that attack from the enemy just breaks.
Yeah.
And there's so much power when you do that.
Guys, we had to turn the AC on. So if you hear it in the back, I'm sorry, but I'm sweating.
We're really hot. It's summertime.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, the armor of God will help you. If you go and read this and pray about it and ask, you know, God to show you what that looks like in Ephesians 6.
Yep.
Just do that.
Good stuff.
Okay. Yeah.
So temptation now. Restoration. How do mm-hmm. we've talked about how sin really, I think we talked about that for so long because mm-hmm. it's so important to address that.
Yeah.
One of the biggest reasons you're probably not feeling that fire and you're not, you know, feeling super on fire for the Lord is there is probably some sin mm-hmm. in the way of that. Mm. And so that is really important to talk about. But now what are other things that you can do to get that fire?
Mm-hmm.
So I had, oh, well, something that our youth pastor always says that I love is he says that in the natural, in order to get hungry, you have to starve yourself, right? You mm-hmm. have to not eat food. In the spiritual, it's literally what Lulu said, but
yeah,
it's, you know, but in the supernatural, in order to get hungry, you have to eat. So in order to get that passion for the Lord, in order to be in supernatural relationship with him, mm-hmm. you have to continually nourish that relationship. Mm-hmm. You have to continually eat. And what that looks like is getting in your word.
Yeah.
Praying, yeah. spending time just talking to God. I do this so much throughout my day where I'm just like, oh my gosh, Lord, did you see that crazy driver? I'm like, did you? And because prayer doesn't always have to be this yeah. like super long, drawn out, emotional, dramatic thing. And it definitely will be sometimes. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the times, the way that I view prayer throughout my day is just talking with him.
Conversations with God.
Yeah. Just being with yeah. him and asking him what's on his heart. Because I think so often when we're praying, we're telling God everything that sucks, everything that's wrong. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's about just sitting and listening to what yeah, he has to say right. and what he's speaking. Right.
Prayer isn't just a one-way tunnel trend. The mm-hmm. what? a one-way conversation.
Tunnel trend. Yeah.
I don't know what I was trying to say. It's he does have things to say and he will talk mm-hmm. back to you. You know what I mean?
And just yeah. I mean, ask him to draw near to you mm-hmm. because, you know, the Bible says when we draw near to him, he draws near to us. And
yeah.
also, and that's in James. But also, I was reading this morning, and it, 1 Chronicles 28:9 says, "And Solomon, my son, learn to know the God of your ancestors intimately. Worship and serve him with your whole heart and a willing mind. Mm-hmm. For the Lord sees every heart and knows every plan and every thought. If you seek him, you will find him. Mm-hmm. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever." This is the Old Testament, so don't, it's okay. He's not going to reject you forever. But yeah, I think it's so important and so valuable that we are, even in the hard seasons when we don't feel that fire, mm-hmm. continually seeking the Lord, pressing in anyway, yeah. is one of the hardest things you can do, but it's also going to be one of the most beneficial things you can do.
Yeah.
Because that's just what I've seen in my life, is when I choose to press in anyways, when I choose to push through, those are the moments that have the most breakthrough for me.
Yeah, right.
I've had so many moments. I had one pretty recently, actually, where I was literally, I was sitting in my bed one night and I was just crying because I was like, Lord, I haven't felt your nearness in so long. Like, I haven't felt your spirit.
Yeah.
And I was just crying and I was like, Lord, would you just show me that you're near to me? I feel like I've been pressing in, I've been pushing through, and I don't feel your nearness right now. The next night at youth group, I had a ridiculous encounter with the Lord where he just showed up and his spirit was there. And one of Paisley's friends, he actually gave me a word that was like exactly what I had been feeling the night before, of just like, oh my gosh. And he was giving me this word and he's like, he just has such a father's heart for you. Like, he longs for you. He loves you, blah, blah, blah. And it was just, oh my gosh. So when you ask him to meet you, I guarantee you he will.
Yeah.
Like, there is no doubt in my mind that when you say, Lord, would you come? Would you touch me? He's not going to do that.
Right.
There's no doubt in my mind that when you ask the Lord to come and meet you, that he will.
Yeah.
He will, because that's who he is. He longs for relationship and for connection with you. Mm-hmm. So when you seek that and when you enter into that, he is so excited and he is so happy to meet you there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he is more than willing to do that. So just ask him. Start just asking him to meet you in your quiet time. Mm-hmm. When you sit down to read your Bible, as often as I can remember, because sometimes I forget, but I like to, before I read my Bible, just be like, okay, Lord, I just pray that, like, your word speaks to me, that things stand out to me, that whatever you need me to hear in this season and in this moment and for this day, like, you would just speak it through your word.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times he does. That's what happened today. I was praying, and look, we have all of these things from what I read this morning that apply to this episode and what we're talking about. Like, he met me this morning. Yeah.
Okay, this is something I want to talk about. Tending to the flame when it feels impossible.
Mm.
And when it feels like it's not getting you anywhere. And when it feels like, I mean, I feel like I go through those seasons where it's like, well, what's the point of reading my Bible? God's not speaking to me anyways. Like, there's so many seasons where I go through that. And, but what God is looking for, I guess, is your faith and your persistence in seeking him no matter what season you're in, no matter, you know, I think sometimes we go through these seasons of just, life is really good, you know? Yeah. The church services have been really great. God has been so good to me and so faithful, and he's provided. And then we go through seasons where it's like, life is really hard right now.
Yeah.
I'm battling this right now. Or, it's hard to trust that God's going to provide in this season. What God is looking for is
your yes
and you're willing to just be like, you know what, God, I don't know what's going on right now. It feels like you're not near. It feels like you're not going to provide. It's hard to trust you, but trusting him anyways and reading your word anyways and giving him glory and praising his name and worshiping him.
Come on.
And showing up to church, showing up to your community gatherings and surrounding yourself with godly people who are going to uplift you and encourage you through this season. God's looking for your yes, looking for your yes to all of those. And, why do I do this?
I don't know.
I get on this roll and then I'm like, so what was my, like, what was I tying that back to? But yeah, in those seasons, he wants your yes and he wants you to stay. I guess what I'm trying to get out of this is that when you do that, when you give him your yes, and when you do not give up on your relationship with him and you're giving him your yes, there is so much strength that comes out of that, yeah. even if it doesn't feel like it. Like, this yeah. might be feel like the most defeating thing ever. Like,
yeah.
oh, I'm just, like, trudging through the mud, trying to trust God, yeah. trying to get through this season. But when the outcome of that, it's like, wow, you look back and you see, wow, God has so been fruitful. So faithful. And God has taught me things that I never would have known if I didn't go through that season, yeah. you know? And so, out of all of that, out of all of the difficulties of that season, there are beautiful things. And yeah. sometimes I think it's hard. We kind of give up. That's mm-hmm. just human nature. We're just like, oh, it's hard. I'm just going to back away for a while until mm-hmm. things get better. But when we press in and when we draw near in those hard seasons, God just does amazing things.
Yeah, and, he really does. Yeah. Yeah. There's so much fruit in the refining. Mm-hmm. There's so much that comes out of that. And yeah. Paul talks about this in the New Testament of how our trials actually bring fruit. They actually build our character and they build our faith.
Yeah.
And so when you're in this, because, you know, if you've been, I was genuinely saved at 3 years old. So it's, I didn't really have a super wild testimony, like, at all. Actually, it's so boring. I think a lot of times we can look at other people who have this burning passion for the Lord. And I want to speak to that because I think a lot of people, there are so many people who get saved at like 25 years old. And because they were living this horrible, yeah. miserable life before, and now they're experiencing this new yeah. joy, this new passion, this new life. Yeah, it's much easier to see the shift and to see the change. And mm-hmm. I think those people are the people that are so on fire, and yeah. you're looking to them and you're like, why don't I have that?
Yeah.
I think sometimes it's just hard to have that fire when you've been walking with the Lord for a long time. And so just ask him for a fresh touch, because yeah. honestly, right. there have been seasons where I'm doing all these things. I'm praying. I'm in mm-hmm. my Bible. And honestly, sometimes it is hard. And, you know, we were talking about this, but it honestly can feel like you're falling to religion.
Yeah.
And you're just falling to systems.
Right.
And to things that, you know, you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's where you are and you're like, but I'm not sinning, mm-hmm. I'm not living in sin, I'm doing these things, like, and you're just frustrated, because what'll happen is people will be like, oh, you want to be on fire for the Lord, well, just like read your Bible and just like yeah. pray. And you hear it so much. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to encourage you, like, I understand your frustration yeah. in that, because I've heard that so many times, and it's like, mm-hmm. I'm doing that.
Yeah.
What am I doing wrong? And I think sometimes it literally just comes down to asking him to meet you and just asking him mm-hmm. to give you a fresh touch. And let me tell you guys, like, there has never been a time where I have asked the Lord to meet me or I've asked for a fresh touch and he hasn't mm-hmm. met me and he hasn't yeah. given me a fresh right. touch. So, like, all we have to do is ask. All we have to do is seek him mm-hmm. and seek his will for our lives, because his will for us is that we would know him intimately. Yeah. I mean, it says it in the Bible multiple times that we need to know the Lord intimately, that we need to worship him. And so it's like his will for us is that we would be on fire for him. And sometimes it just comes down to asking.
Yeah.
So do you have anything else you want to touch on?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, repenting time, guys. We're yeah. going to... So I think we're just gonna, we've been going for a very long time, so I apologize, but this was just really something that I felt we needed to talk about. So I know it's been a long one, but yeah. if you've gotten here, congratulations.
Good job.
So we're now just gonna take some time. We're gonna invite the Holy Spirit, and we're just yeah. going to kind of just show you what repentance mm-hmm. looks like. And yeah. you can come back to this in moments of, if you need to repent for something mm-hmm. again, and you're like, oh, wait, but how do I, like, you know. Yeah, let's just pray and invite the Holy Spirit in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Lord, we just come to you,
yeah.
and we just thank you for all the hearts, all the people listening mm-hmm. to this podcast, Lord. I ask that you would bless them, mm-hmm. and that you would reveal to them right now whatever is holding this person back from the yeah. fullness of a relationship with you. I just ask mm-hmm. that you would reveal it to them right now.
Yeah.
Would you make yourself known, Jesus? And guys, just close your eyes. Just get in this moment with the Lord. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you're in a good place to do that. Yeah. Okay. And now I want, if you're listening to this, I want you to just repeat what I'm saying. Mm. Lord, I'm sorry for the things unseen, for the things that I, for the sins that I'm unaware of. Mm. I pray that you would reveal what is hindering me from experiencing the fullness of your presence. Come on. He's showing you right now what that thing is.
Yeah.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, I am so sorry for fill in the blank. I'm so sorry for growing bitter. I'm so sorry for being lustful. I'm so sorry for being angry, whatever it is. Find the genuineness of your heart to say that you're sorry. Lord, I pray that you would give me the strength to turn away from these things. I thank you that you are forgiving and loving, and that you don't see me as my sin, but you see me as a son or daughter.
Yeah.
Lord, would you come? Would your Holy Spirit fall on me right now?
Yeah.
Would you purify my heart, Lord? Would you give me a deeper conviction? Would you show me everything that you've called me to be? Lord, would you help me in the hard moments where I don't feel your fire, when I don't feel you and your nearness? Lord, I just ask for a fresh touch of your presence. I ask that you would show me your character. Show me who you are, Lord. Lord, I thank you that I am not my sin. I am not my mistakes. Jesus, because of what you did on the cross, I am now your pure and spotless bride, Jesus. I don't have to feel any guilt or shame for the things I've done in the past. I break agreement with guilt and shame right now in the name of Jesus. I declare that chains of sin and of guilt and of shame would fall right now in the name of Jesus.
Come on.
I just declare restoration over my heart. And I just ask for a fresh touch of your presence, Jesus. Mm-hmm. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Ooh, good stuff, you guys.
Good.
Wow. We've been going for, oh my gosh, we've been going for so long. That's crazy.
Yeah. Those were good conversations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Thanks, Holy Spirit. Thanks for that. That was great.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Thank you guys for watching this.
This is a long one. So mm-hmm. if you're still here.
Good job. I see you. I'm proud of you.
Me too. Yeah. We are eternally grateful. Speaking of which, since you're still here, you should like follow, rate, review, share wherever you're listening. All the things. If there's someone you know that needed to listen to this right now, mm-hmm. if there's someone that you know is struggling in their faith or in their relationship with the Lord, send it to them. Send it their way. We want to talk to them too. Mm-hmm.
And I would just encourage you to, throughout this week, continue to, you know, talk to God. Continue to ask God about this topic and, you know, to keep it on your mind. If it's something that you're like, well, I don't know what I need to repent for. I don't know what mm-hmm. that is. Continue to have that conversation with God, and he will bring it to your attention. He will show you what you need to work on. And it's not, he's not doing it in a way of, oh, well, this is what you need to work on. This is what you need. It's like, you need to do this and then you do this better. Like, mm-hmm. it's in a way of like, he's partnering with you on that. And he's mm-hmm. like, hey, let's work on this right now. Let's work on doing this. And I encourage you to pray about that this week.
Come on. I just remembered something. One last little nugget of truth before we go is I just like wanted to let you know that God isn't hiding himself from you. Mm. He actually so desperately wants a relationship with you.
Yeah.
So, yeah. He
allow him to come into your life and to have that relationship with you and to, you know, I'm going to be honest, it's not going to be easy at first.
Yeah.
Because you're still growing, you're still learning mm-hmm. how that works.
Yeah.
But just like any other relationship.
Yeah.
It's going to get good.
Yeah. And he understands there's a process.
Yeah.
He is a forgiving, loving, generous God. So mm-hmm. anyways, we will leave you with that before we get on another tangent. Because we will. Probably me. But I'm more susceptible to that one. We love you guys so much. As always, thank you for tuning in and stopping by. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.